I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off!
We're back again with Dave Itzkoff, the author of the book Mad as Hell, The Making of Network, and the fateful vision of the angriest man in movies, right here on the TV Time Machine. Well, you said that role would take a lot of energy. Certainly, the scene that took a lot of energy was the Mad as Hell scene. Take us through the filming of that.
Sure. Well, what people may not realize, I mean, if you look at the sequence itself, and there are so many edits and cuts and, you know, reaction shots, and you see Faye Dunaway kind of, you know, licking her chops and calling around to find out what other markets are also reacting to the speech. But if you just look at Peter Finch and his performance of it, you will see that there's only this one sort of long zoom in on him. It's basically from the same camera. And that's because the speech itself, he was only ever able to perform one complete take of it when they shot that. And Lumet had a second camera basically ready to go, loaded up with film, and as soon as Finch completed the first take of it, you know, had that camera go right away, started in on the second take of it, and Finch got about halfway through that second take and then just stopped himself because he told Lumet he just couldn't go any further. He had no more energy. And Lumet said okay and just really didn't feel comfortable pushing Finch any harder. And so that whole scene, the master shot, is assembled from the second half of the first take and the first half of the second take, and that's all they had.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've got to get mad.
67. I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
I'm not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
So what was the reaction to Network when it was released in terms of the critics, the public, and the TV industry?
Sure. Well, the TV industry, for sure, just completely disowned it. They were the most aghast by it. And that had partly to do with the fact that Chayefsky had been given access to the operations of, you know, the news divisions at CBS and NBC and ABC just to kind of poke around when he was still researching the script and before he even really knew what he was going to write. So, these companies felt kind of burnt. They felt like he had stabbed them in the back, but also because they were just so horrified by the movie and the idea that news itself could ever sort of turn into what he depicts in the film. And this, they felt that the business just had more dignity, and that they just thought that, you know, they had higher standards than that, and they would just never allow themselves to decline in the way that he anticipated. The critical community was pretty divided. There were very strongly positive reviews, and then there were very strongly negative reviews. And people like Pauline Kael at The New Yorker, and even Frank Rich, who was then a critic for the New York Post, really denounced the movie and just thought it was kind of sloppy and the equivalent of just a guy standing on a soapbox and screaming. But all that kind of controversy really helped power it, you know, with the wider audiences and at the box office. It was a very commercially successful film, and we know its sort of final fate at the Oscars that it was so successful, and it was, you know, among the most nominated films of that year. I believe it was 10 Oscar nominations that it got, which was the most of any film.
So how did Paddy Chayefsky react to all that reaction?
Well, I think it was something that he deeply internalized and took very personally, and in some ways was even wounded by, because, you know, I mean, he had certainly made himself the focal point of the movie. If you look at even the opening credits of it, you'll see, you know, it doesn't say, you know, a screenplay by Paddy Chayefsky. It says network by Paddy Chayefsky.
Right.
He was it was a reflection certainly of the, you know, the level of control that he had over it, but he really wanted audiences to know, you know, this is my handiwork, you know, first and foremost. And so when the film starts sort of taking all this criticism, a lot of it ends up, you know, being directed at him, and so that, I think, is, you know, personally hurtful to him. But also, because he's somebody who always lived in fear that the messages of his work were not being fully received by audiences, it just tends to reinforce that same paranoia, that same fear, that, you know, that it's, you know, he's sort of seeing it just kind of, you know, this personal, you know, suspicion that he always had is basically playing out in front of him, and that just makes it even harder for him.
So in your view, how much of what Network depicted has come to pass?
Quite a tremendous amount, actually. I mean, I think it's certainly clear in the you can just sort of span the dial of television news, not only on cable TV but certainly still on broadcast television. I mean, not only TV news itself just doesn't have the kind of influence or command that it enjoyed in that period, but also the fact that, you know, it has largely become less about the kind of conveying of information than, you know, the sort of the spirit in which the information is conveyed. That people are basically choosing from all these kinds of flavors of news, and you know, which presentation of it sort of suits my personality best, and who can sort of shout the loudest or most convincingly, rather than who is giving me the most complete news report. I mean, I think that part of it is pretty clear. But I think, you know, in a weird way, for somebody who lived in an era when there was no cable TV, no internet, no social media, I think Chayefsky had a lot to say that is relevant to this period that we're in now, where we're seeing such rapid development in terms of technology, and especially communication technology and communication media, where we have more and more choices in terms of, you know, how we as individuals can put our voices out, but where are our voices going? Are we essentially just a bunch of people who are all going to our windows and shouting at one another? And are we communicating to each other any better than the people reacting to Howard Beale's Mad as Hell speech?
So if he were alive today, how do you think Chayefsky would view TV today? I mean, the extremes of television. You have shows like Mad Men, for instance, and then you have the more extreme reality shows. How would he react to that?
You know, well, that's. I think you've pretty well summed it up. There is quite a bit that he would just be horrified by, and in terms of things that he did anticipate, and the proliferation of things like reality TV, which are suggested in Network, and the sort of the documentary show about the left-wing radical terrorist group. In some ways is not too different from Keeping Up with the Kardashians, although different aims and different motivations, but both following groups of pretty horrible people. So that, I think, would all greatly upset him. And then at the same time, as you mentioned, you have these sort of bastions of quality scripted programming, most of it existing on cable TV, but all growing right out of the sort of tradition that Chayefsky helped to establish, that all these shows, like you say, like Mad Men or, you know, Boardwalk Empire or Breaking Bad, in some ways those are all derived directly from the 1950s tradition of those anthology drama shows, and that those, a lot of those were shown on Sunday nights, and they were the kinds of, you know, they sort of helped create the Monday morning water cooler effect. And they were shows that you really had to watch in real time, and shows that really cultivated the very best talent that was out there and really helped propel people into larger dramatic careers.
Yes, he actually could be writing for a lot of those shows. Now, if he were writing for some of those shows and others, what would his outrage be now?
Oh, man. Well, you'd have really no shortage of things to choose from. I think look at any newspaper now. I'm sure anything from, NSA, wiretapping and surveillance to, the Russian conflict in Ukraine. I mean, these are all the kinds of things that, you know, if you have a propensity to worry about the state of the country and the state of the world, they would really set off alarm bells for somebody like Chayefsky.
Now, obviously, in television, the pendulum has swung pretty extremely in the other direction in terms of TV news. Do you think it'll ever swing back?
It's hard for me to imagine that it will. It's sort of like, you know, the genie is already out of the bottle and the toothpaste is already out of the tube. There's nothing. There are occasional moments where we do kind of gather around TV as kind of a unified culture, or there are, you know, singular news events that all make us pay attention at the same time. But I think the period where you had just like, you know, really only three or four main outlets for people to get their news from, that's obviously gone. It's never going to, if anything, you know, the market share is only going to get smaller and narrower, and that's just going to continue.
Dave, what is the legacy, ultimately, of Paddy Chayefsky and Network?
Well, there, I think, first and foremost, you certainly have just its power of prophecy, that the way that it did anticipate what specifically was going to happen in our media and in our entertainment culture. But I think there's also a larger point about a single person who had a really clear vision of where he thought the country was going and would do just about anything to make sure that that message got conveyed to people, that that story got told to them. And I think when you look even at the contemporary landscape of screenwriters and filmmakers and directors, there you don't really see very many people with that same level of passion that he did, who feel the same sense of urgency about their work and who will really fight to tell that kind of a story. I think you see things that are much, much safer, far less willing to polarize an audience, and far less willing to kind of take these kinds of social risks. And that if they do, they certainly do not reach, as massive an audience as a film like Network did in its era. And that's really, I think, a testament to a person like Chayefsky, who just fought like hell to make that movie.
You're right. Very few writers are as mad as hell as Paddy Chayefsky was. Speaking of mad as hell, where can people find out more about yourself online, and where can they purchase your book?
The book should be available just about anywhere and anywhere that you can buy books, retail stores, Amazon.com, etc. And I am online, usually on Twitter, at DItzkoff, DItzkoff.
Great. Dave, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You're television incarnate, Diana. Indifferent to suffering, insensitive to joy. All of life is reduced to the common rubble of banality. War, murder, death. All the same to you as bottles of beer. And the daily business of life is a corrupt comedy. You even shatter the sensations of time and space into split seconds and instant replays.
your madness, Diane.
Vera?
Madness. And everything you touch dies with you.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. I'll never look into your eyes again.